Here we go. Welcome to another episode of the Bamature Hour. I'm Bama John. Today we have Will K and we have Gary the Amateur on here. And we're going to go by through the game by game predictions for the 2025 regular season for Alabama. We're going to look at each game. We're going to tell you whether Bama's going to win, lose, and if it's a toss up, we'll note that we think it's a toss up game, but we're still going to make a prediction. We're going to do our full season prediction as well, what Bama's record's ultimately going to do. We're each going to say what the ceiling and the floor is that we view for Alabama. And we are also going to predict whether or not Alabama makes the playoffs. So we're going to jump into it. First off, how you doing there, Will K? How's your day been? Welcome.
Yeah, it's good, always looking forward to this. I just got better.
Excellent. All right. Gary the amateur, what do you know? How's your day going?
Just busy, busy enough where I'm still wearing my starched white shirt on the program, so
Well, I put
glad to
my
be here.
Bama gear on, so I'm feeling it and got the tie and ready for the game next week. I can't believe we're almost to the first game. I'm excited about it. But first, guys, we got some news and notes. I'm gonna throw them up on the screen real quick. Couple of news and note, some news, some notes. Number one, and I'm just gonna read all these off, and then I'm gonna get your takes on each one of them. First off, is there's clickbait today. Stephen A. Smith was talking to Paul Feinbaum, and he was basically demanding that Alabama fire DeBoer and replace him with Deion Sanders. That DeBoer's not tough enough. That the Alabama program's lost its toughness that it had under Nick Saban. I thought that was some good clickbait. Just some fodder. He's just trying to generate talk, but to me, it's interesting. We'll talk about that. Running back update real quick. Richard Run Young is running as RB1. Daniel Hill's RB2. A couple other guys that they mentioned. We'll talk more about that. Jam Miller dislocated collarbone, and James Smith is recovering, but I still haven't seen any details on what his injuries are. So those are the news and notes. Just throwing those up on the screen. All right, Gary. First off, thoughts on the Stephen A. Smith clickbait?
Oh, I've got some thoughts on the clickbait.
Well,
He's had talks about.
keep them for the public and make sure that they're kid friendly, but jump in
Oh, for sure, for sure.
there.
So, in politics, they say there's no such thing as bad publicity. And Stephen A. Smith, he's made no secret of the fact that he has political aspirations, and this got him in the news cycle. It's got us talking about him. I mean, it's a preposterous thing to say, right? I mean, we had I would say a slight letdown season based on Bama standards last year, but time to fire him. I mean, give me a break, Stephen.
All right, Will K, your thoughts on Stephen A. Smith and his clickbait that DeBoer needs to go and be replaced by Dion. Fire away.
Yeah, I mean, after one season, it looked pretty promising there at the beginning, but had some losses that weren't great. Saw some flashes of, I was like, after that Georgia game, I was like, this team might be really good, and then laid an egg the very next week. But yeah, after 1 year, I don't think that he should be fired. If he doesn't make the playoff this year, then I think there might be talk about it in the coming years. He might be on the hot seat because we do have such high standards. But I mean, to name Deion Sanders, what has Deion Sanders done? He's at Colorado, and he had Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders. And even when he had them, they went 4-8. So yeah, I don't agree with that.
Great points about Colorado and how Dion's done there. I want to see how Dion does this year. What does he do without Travis Hunter? What does he do without Shador, who is an NFL caliber quarterback? I know that they kind of botched the draft prospect, but guys, I think Shador is going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, and he's going to be in the NFL a long time. We'll see whether or not that prediction, but I want to see how Dion does this year. Can Dion go 8-4, 9-3 in Colorado? I'll be impressed if he does that. I think he's more likely to go 7-5, 6-6. What if he goes 4-8? I don't think he'll
Alabama's
make a
not going to
bowl
touch
game.
him. Yeah, I mean, so let's see what he, number one, let's see what Deion does. And number two, DeBoer's team was young last year. They had some transfer guys leaving the transfer portal. We know that Milroe was a debacle. We know that not having Ryan Grubb last year hurt this team offensively, and Milroe lost us multiple games in and of himself. It's just hype. It's just Stephen A. Smith. And he's not a college football expert. He's, you know, he knows, you know, he's got all those people backing him up, but how much more does he know than we know on this? So I'm just going to be, it'll be fun to see what happens. It's kind of interesting to talk about, but those are my two cents. Anybody else have any further comments they want to make on this before we move on?
Think so.
Okay, let's talk about Richard Young and Daniel Hill. Looks like Richard Young is going to be RB1, but could be that Daniel Hill's the first guy that rolls out there. I do think, as I've said many times to both of you guys, Daniel Hill is that unique running back. None of the other guys in the room, including Jam Miller, are as powerful and can get those tough inside yards that he can. And I think he's got good quickness, good burst, good power. So I think we're going to see a lot of Daniel Hill. If he doesn't start, we're going to see a lot of him against FSU. But it sounds like Richard Young's going to be the number one back. Sounds like Dre Washington's going to get some time in. Apparently, Grubb mentioned Kevin Riley as well, which I hadn't really heard that name mentioned. So that's a couple of things about the RB1 situation, the running back with Jam out. Gary, thoughts? So, this is interesting. I mean, we're obviously sad that Jam got injured, but this creates an opportunity, and we could be in a RB A1 and A2 situation where they share time, looking at certain down and distance situations. And we know we've had a lot of systems over the years where we have two running backs that get, I wouldn't say equal playing time, but near equal. Would not surprise me if Daniel Hill steps up. We talked about that in the last episode. And a lot of times it's the hot hand. It's like in basketball, who's hitting the shots, who's making the runs, and feed them the ball, feed the beast. So, it's too bad Jam got hurt. He had some, we're talking about hit or miss for Jalen. Jam had some hit or miss last year as well. So it'll be nice to see some fresh faces. Kevin Riley, I can't really comment on him. I'm not really steeped in anything about his background or anything, but great to see new faces around.
All right, Will, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think we'll see more of a committee against Florida State and won't be just one guy, unless, like Gary said, somebody just is making all the runs. You just got to keep feeding them. But I think we'll see some Draylen Washington. That's a name that hasn't been talked about a lot either. But I think it'll be mostly Richard Young and Daniel Hill, but it'll be a three-headed monster, I think, at least until the Georgia game.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think Dre Washington's going to get some playing time as well. And I think three or four guys are going to get shots in that game. Hopefully, they know how to pass pro. The one thing that, if you know, in the NFL and even in college football, freshmen and rookies can step up and have big years, as long as you just don't blow those pass protection assignments. Those guys can step in and have an impact. So I'm excited to see who does that, or if two or three guys. But in our good years, like you said, Gary, it's normally there's a thunder and lightning aspect to it. You normally have at least two guys that are very, very effective. So I'm hopeful about that. And I'm a Daniel Hill fan and enthusiast until he shows me he can't do it. And I'm hoping he's going to show me he can do it. And I'd love to see Richard Young, Dre Washington, any of those guys show that vision, that burst, that ability to accelerate on a dime, make those cuts, see the holes. And we'll see who can catch the ball out of the flat as a dump off, as a safety valve. I'm excited to see it. So, and Jam has a dislocated collarbone. So it seems that they think it might heal and he might be back before the Georgia game. But I think that would be the longest he would be out, as he would be back for the Georgia game. So we'll see what happens there. And then the other news and note is James Smith. I don't know what's going on with him, why he's out. And did either of you guys have any news, knowledge on what his injury is? I don't, but I want to make one follow-up point on the running back.
Oh yeah,
A lot of it
please.
too on pass pro is going to be who wants to put a hat on somebody. You
Yeah.
know, if you've got a middle linebacker coming in full steam and you got to protect Ty, you know, who's willing to take that hit? And none of these guys have enough playing time. I don't think we can say that definitively. I like Daniel's frame to make that block. We've had smaller backs like Josh Jacobs, quite frankly, that'll put a lick on you, even though he doesn't have the size. So be interested to see how they block as well as run.
All right, Will, any do you have any idea what's going on with James Smith, and do you have any other comments on the running back situation?
I do not know what's going on with James Smith. I haven't really heard anything, so I'm kind of in the dark on that one.
All right. Well, now let's jump into the next phase of our discussion. I'm going to slap the calendar up here. This is the calendar. We got Florida State. We got Louisiana, Monroe, Wisconsin, Georgia, Vanderbilt, Missouri, Tennessee, South Carolina, LSU, Oklahoma, Eastern Illinois, and last but not least, the Iron Bowl. All right, let's start off with Florida State. Gary, win, loss, toss up, and give me your thoughts on the Bama Florida State game.
It's a win. And as we talked about last episode, it's a must win. You know, we start losing that game and some of the ones you had highlighted. And maybe Stephen A. Smith's going to talk again. But no, I think it's a win. You know, it's dangerous. They've got Gus Malzahn. He was the architect of the kick six and some other disappointments for Bama Nation over the years. FSU has a freshman running back a lot of people are talking about. Usman Kromah, a very physical guy. You know, he's going to probably get some touches. And, you know, they've got some athletes. They're transfer portal heavy. And they're desperate. I mean, let's be honest. After last year, it's almost like when you have a dog painted into a corner, they're going to bite and bite as hard as they can. FSU fans, the coach is 100% on the hot seat. You know, they're hungry for a win. And of course, they're playing us. And we always have a target on our back, and we're going to get their best. But, you know, I looked it up briefly earlier today. You know, the Lions minus 11. I think that might be, I think Bama may beat them by at least two touchdowns. I got us winning the game.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that this is the kind of game where, you know, we have an inexperienced quarterback, our running back just got hurt, it's on the road. Going to hear that Florida State war cry about 50,000 times. I think that this could be a game where it's a little scary at first. Like Florida State might score first, but I don't think they'll win the game. I think Alabama will settle down and win. But this is the kind of game, you know, first game, new quarterback on the road. I think it could get scary in like the first quarter. They get like a touchdown, then we don't score, and they get like a field goal. They're up 10 to nothing, but I think ultimately we'll win. But it's closer than people think, but I still think that we cover.
All right, I'm in agreement with you guys. Bama's going to win. This is the junior and senior laden Bama team. So Bama's got the right recipe to have a great season this year. They've recruited really well the past multiple years. They've supplemented it with transfer portal guys. Our team's mostly juniors and seniors. We're led by a fourth-year junior quarterback. We really have the depth and experience. We got Ryan Grubb in there. So it's going to be that recipe for how to build a team, which is the recipe to win a national championship right now, versus a team that is gone portal heavy and trying to rebuild from a disaster of a season. And by the way, Florida State's mad at us as well because we kept them out of the playoff 2 years ago. So they've got that added motivation to stick it to Bama. But I think it's that contrasting styles. Can you win big if you go portal heavy but haven't recruited well versus a team that's recruited well and supplemented it with a portal? And I would argue in most cases, 90% plus the time, the recipe Bama has is going to win. But Vanderbilt did it to us last year where they went portal heavy and they beat us and surprised us, but we were overconfident. and not ready. And I think guys didn't take Vanderbilt seriously. And for Vanderbilt, that was the biggest win they've ever had in their program. And we're going to be ready for this. We're not going to have that letdown. Now, DeBoer's got to prove that he can win big games on the road consistently. So here we go, out of the gate, go win this game, go down there and beat them. I think that's what's at stake. Bama's going to win. I'm not sure they're going to cover. I think they may win by 7 or 10. I think it's going to be a dogfight. It's going to be in the heat, but Bama's going to win. So those are my thoughts on the game. So we're all have Bama 1-0 coming out of there. And if it's 0-1, whoo, it's going to get really interesting. And we're going to talk more about clickbait from Stephen A. Smith at that point. All right. Any other thoughts before we move on to game number two? All right. Game number two, Louisiana Monroe. Do we even need to talk about this game? I don't think so. Do you guys?
Hopefully not.
If we're having to talk about this game and run down anything other than Bama wins 45-3 or 45-10, ooh, DeBoer will be on the hot seat. All right. Well, let's jump to Wisconsin then. Okay, Gary. Give me your thoughts on Wisconsin. Win, lose, toss up. How are we looking there? Thoughts?
Big win. I mean, win by big, I should say. Might they have some weapons? They got this transfer quarterback, Billy Edwards, who had a big year last year in Maryland, that he had almost 3,000 yards. Look, let's just lay it out. They don't have the athletes. They cannot contend with us. In the trenches, they'll have big guys, but they don't have the speed and the athleticism we do. And I think we're going to just run over them. I don't think Ty necessarily has to have a big game. I think we might get up early and run the ball and let our road graders, have a little bit of practice and have a time of possession kind of practice, I guess, for lack of a better term. So I've got this as not close. I don't think Wisconsin can compete with us.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. It's not the Wisconsin of old, the fullback set with Monty Ball or Melvin Gordon. They're still a Power Five team, and I was at the game in Wisconsin last year. We beat them 42-10 in their place, and it'll be played in Tuscaloosa this year. So, yeah, I don't think it'll be that close.
I think again. To Gary's point, we got the athletes. We've recruited better than they have. We've supplemented with the transfer portal. They had to go portal heavy because they haven't recruited well. They're trying to rebuild from last year. We're junior, senior laden. It all lays out for a huge win by Bama. I think that's where we are. All right, let's go to Georgia at Georgia. Okay, Gary, jump in.
Why do I have to go first?
If you
No,
don't want to, we can put Will K on deck.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. So, I really think that this game comes down to the trenches. I really do. They've got, we both have so much size, athleticism, that they've got a new five-star D tackle coming in, Elijah Griffith, who's just, by all accounts, is just a monster. And they'll have plenty of depth at D line. They're a tried and true team. They got a great coach, Kirby. They've had trouble beating Alabama, and I'm with Will. After that game last year, I was seeing stars in my eyes and seeing us going all the way. That was such a good feeling. I just don't know that we're going to have as good of a feeling this year. You got Christian Miller. Their defensive front, they are just going to be tough. And it's easy to say, well, it's going to come down to pass pro, but I just don't know that we're going to win the trench battle. And if we don't win the trench battle, we're going to be in trouble. And I think we're going to be in trouble. And I'm a Bama fan. I think we should win every game. We'll win every game. But if I have to say, if it matters, I think this is going to be an early loss for us. I think we keep it close. I think we keep it very interesting into the fourth quarter. And they just wear us down. We got athletes too, but this is a tough team. Zachariah Branch, he's a shifty wide receiver. He was a first-team All-American punt returner 2 years ago. I mean, they just at every spot on the field can match us. And I think it's going to be tough. I think it's going to be a close loss.
So
Hate
you
to
called
say
it
it.
a tough Toss-up loss. Is that a fair way
Toss
to
up loss.
toss up loss? Okay, Will K. Jump in there.
Every year, everybody thinks Georgia's going to win. Last year, they were favored in 2023. 2021, they did beat us in the national championship. But in the SEC championship, they were number one. They were favored. And they always seem to have us on the ropes in all the games. I think most of the games they've been up by, double scores, and we've just come back. But every year they think Georgia's going to win. And I don't care if it's in Georgia, we have their number. And I don't believe in Gunnar Stockton. I think that this is a W.
Can you push, do you mind if I push back on Will?
Go for it. I love it. Come on.
The only thing that you didn't say, and I'll say it, Nick Saban.
Okay, on
We
the
had their
board with him
number. We
last
also had
year.
Nick Saban. And you got to remember last year, not only did Ryan make that play, Xavier Brown made an amazing interception to save that game. We came out and just dominated them. And then it was like, so we threaded the needle. We did thread the needle last year. I'm very proud of the team. I don't know that you can look at a post-Saban team through the same lens as a Saban team. Saban had their number. He intimidated them. He outcoached them, out-recruited them. Enough said.
That's fair enough, but it's gonna, we'll see the first 3 weeks on how Ty Simpson plays, and then I might have a different answer. But I mean, I don't think Georgia's gonna be all that great this year. I mean, they'll be top 10, but they're not gonna be like Texas, Ohio State, or any of them. I think that they'll be okay, but I just don't believe in Gunnar Stockton, and it is between the hedges, and they don't lose there very often. But on mine, I have this down as a W.
All right, I like your optimism. I'm
Yeah.
in Gary's corner. I have this as a toss-up loss. To me, DeBoer has not, the only big game he's won on the road to date is LSU, and we had the kryptonite for LSU. LSU's defense was terrible. They didn't deal well with running quarterbacks, and Milroe had a field day after they watched Marcel Reed for Texas A&M tear him up. We just went right at it. That was there. So that's the only big road win he's had yet. So until DeBoer proves to me he can win a big SEC game on the road in a hostile environment, I give the edge to Georgia. Kirby's proven two natties. DeBoer hadn't won one yet. I think teams are built similarly through the recruiting. Both teams have recruited great. You got athletes all over the field, you got NFL players all over the field on both sides. Can Ty outplay Gunner? Can our line do stuff against Georgia's line? They're going to be solid on both sides of the ball. I think right now that, well, we'll see what the health situations of both teams will get into it, but it's going to be similar teams, similar athleticism. Both teams have built through great recruiting, supplemented with the portal. Great coaches. DeBoer's a great coach. I really believe that. And I think you're going to see the grub, but I think this is DeBoer's first loss, Alabama's first loss of the season. I have it down as a loss, but I like your optimism, Will. I hope you're right. I just am trying to see it as realistically as I can. And I don't think DeBoer can get it done in his first big road game against a powerful top 10 team. I don't think he's ready to do that because LSU was a flawed roster last year. This Georgia, it depends on Gunner. If Gunner's bad, Georgia may have a disappointing season, but I think they're going to be
That's
really
what I
tough.
think.
I hope you're right, but that's my thought. So, all right. Any other comments, Will, to
Nope.
counter what Gary and I are saying?
Nope, I think I've made my point.
Okay. You're
Youthful
just,
optimism.
yes, I
Youthful
like the
optimism.
optimism. I try to be realistic. I guess I'm more stoic, but anyway, another discussion for another day. All right. After Georgia, Alabama comes home for a date with Vanderbilt. All right, Gary, thoughts on Vandy?
I think revenge will be sweet. They have one of the most annoying quarterbacks, and I think it's our turn to, and he's back. And you got to tip your hat. He's not only did he have a great game last year, he's one of the craftiest players I've seen, certainly playing for Vandy. And I just think that I think we're going to overwhelm them this year. And you got Quay at Wolf, and you got Keon Keeley at Bandit. I think we're going to put a lot of pressure on him. He's shifty. He can run. I give him that. He makes great decisions on the fly. But I think we're going to get to him this year, like we didn't last year. And I think we're going to beat him by 3 touchdowns at least.
Will K.
Yeah, so I went to the Vanderbilt game last year. Before I saw something on the internet while they were practicing, they had like a fake score while they were practicing where they were up, and it was they're like, oh, Vanderbilt's doing anything they can to, flip that switch in their brain to make them think that they beat Alabama, they can beat Alabama. And they did. I'll say that they played a perfect game almost. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, they had zero turnovers. We turned it over 3 times. They converted like 3 fourth downs, but that's not going to happen 2 years in a row. They played perfectly last year at home. And if we lose to Vanderbilt 2 years in a row, then I don't even know what to say. So yeah, I agree. I think that Diego Pavia will be sacked maybe 10 times in this game, and we'll win by 3 scores or more.
And they had to, if I can, their offensive line I thought did a very good job last year. They've had a lot of turnover in the line, and and our defensive line, you got Keenan LT, those guys are going to come after them. I agree with you. I don't know about 10, but
I was being, not actually 10. Maybe, how about
I
maybe five? 5 times, 4 or 5.
love it.
Yeah.
Well, all right, let me jump in here. I think it's going to be a blowout win. Bama's going to come in motivated. They'll have seen two dual threat quarterbacks at this point. They'll have seen Castellanos at Florida State with Gus Malzahn. They'll have played Gunnar Stockton, who is a dual threat quarterback. They're going to be ready for Diego. And let's face it, if Alabama's motivated, prepared, people do their jobs, who has more talent? Alabama. Alabama's got the 4 stars and the 5 stars. They got the
And
NFL
not
talent.
that, playing at Vanderbilt is, some away game. I mean, it is, but, it's not like playing at Tennessee or LSU. But now they're playing in Bryant-Denny,
Correct.
and that will affect them. I mean, playing in, I don't even know their stadium name, but playing at
Dudley,
Vanderbilt.
it's called Dudley Field, and
Yeah.
it's got some like First Star Bank or something.
Yeah, but that playing at Bryant-Denny will affect the Vanderbilt team. They had they were at home last year, so yeah, I think it won't be close. But I agree. I do not like Diego Pavia. Something about him, I don't know what it is. Just his the way he holds
You mean
himself. Kind of reminds
cocky?
me
Is
of
he
a
cocky? You
little
think
bit. He
he's
reminds me
cocky?
of Johnny Manziel
Manziel? Yeah.
almost.
He
Yeah,
loves Johnny
he's
football.
a
He
little
is.
pest. Yeah, he reminds me of Johnny Manziel.
Well, but I will give Diego credit. I don't know if you guys have watched the Netflix SEC show. Worth watching. They do a lot on Diego Pavia. He gets up at like 5 every morning and he goes all day. And unlike Manziel, he's not a partying machine. He is really dedicated. So I respect his work ethic. I respect his unreasonable belief in how good he is. He's not going to be a pro quarterback. He just doesn't have the size, the build. Maybe he'd go to Canada and be very effective, or maybe he could be a third string practice squad guy. But we're going to overwhelm them. We've just got more athletes. If our coaches have our guys prepared, students are going to be rowdy. The fans are going to want blood. I mean, this is going to be a big revenge game. I think it's going to be a blowout. So that's my big win. We're going to be motivated. The only thing that is if we get beat up against Georgia, that could be a negative. And that Georgia game will be a war. That's going to be really physical, and it will test our depth and our our strength to come back to that. So, any other thoughts on Vandy Bama?
Don't think so.
Okay. Trap game that Will and I have talked about previously at Missouri. Gary, you want to jump in first?
Yeah, I don't have any super strong opinions about this other than I don't think it's going to be a trap game in my book because, I mean, you got Missouri, they're depleted. They lost an amazing running back who really carried the team in some tough games last year. I think they're preseason number 12 in the SEC in terms of projected standing. I just think we're too good. We got too many athletes and solid players. Junior and senior players at every position. I don't think it's going to be a blowout like Vanderbilt. We don't really have that. I don't want to say motivation, but it's not the same dynamic as taking Pavia down. But it's a tough place to play. That's the only thing that gives me a little pause is, if you look over the last 2 or 3 years, Missouri's had a couple of really signature wins in Columbia. And so that makes me pause a little bit, but I still think we get taking a business taken care of and win by a couple of touchdowns.
I like it. Okay.
Yeah, I think it'll be closer than people expect. Not many people are talking about Missouri being a huge threat in the SEC or anything. I think that maybe they're a little underrated. It is on the road, but I think ultimately we'll probably win by 2 touchdowns.
I like you guys' optimism. Here's why I view it as a potential trap game. I think Bama's going to win. I think it's going to be close because we'll have just played Georgia, Vanderbilt, then we're going on the road to Missouri. Maybe a little banged up, a little tired. And it is the Missouri is that team that's gone in the transfer portal heavy to try to reload, rebuild. Their quarterback came from Penn State. He's a mobile quarterback. I don't think he's a good passing quarterback. That's yet to be determined, but they pulled a guy out of Penn State who was the backup to Drew Aller. They had to go portal heavy to rebuild because they haven't recruited well. So again, it's going to be, can you pull those portal guys in, create, and they'll have had some time to create some chemistry since it's the middle of the season. So they may be humming on all cylinders. And Missouri has the strength of schedule. They have the weakest schedule of any team in the SEC. So they get to play Mississippi State. They get to play Kentucky. They've got the cupcake schedule. So they could go 9-3 and have a very mediocre team just because they have a cupcake schedule. So I think they're going to be less challenged, less beat up than we are coming into this game. So those are the things I'm worried about, but we should beat them. And we have a better roster. We have a better team. If we're playing the way we should win this. But again, I'm worried about DeBoer on the road. I'm worried about after Georgia and Vanderbilt, can we get our guys back up and take Missouri seriously? And this is in a 5-game stretch of 5 weeks straight of SEC games. This will be in the middle of that with Tennessee coming up after this. So I just hope we don't have a letdown and can maintain it. And let's say we come into this game undefeated or with one loss. I hope our guys don't drink the rat poison, which I'm worried about that too, is drinking the rat poison. So I think we're going to win, but I do think it's going to be a tough, close game. And a lot of games on the road in the SEC end up being close. And that was what Saban was great at, is we get into these close games where you're worried about us losing to a team we shouldn't lose to, but we'd still pull it out. So can DeBoer do that and keep us focused on the road and get these wins? That's my take. Any other thoughts about Missouri before we move on to the third Saturday in October and the Vols?
Nope.
Okay, Gary, chop it up, Tennessee.
I think they're going to be pretty good this year. We lost to them 24-17 last year, Knoxville, and that one you can put a little bit on Milroe though.
Yes.
He had more picks than he had touchdowns. I think he had two interceptions, one touchdown. They rushed 214 yards on us in that game, and they're just more physical than us, is what the game looked like. I think that's going to flip this year. And, I think that by that time, I think we're going to have some scary moments with Ty. I really do. I think his decision making process is going to be leaps and bounds above Milroe's. He's been on the bench a long time. He's waited his turn. He's the limited time that he's played, he seemed to make pretty good decisions. I think by this point in the season, I think he's going to be making some plays. I don't know that he's going to be making plays in Athens, but I think when we get back to T-Town and play Tennessee, I think he's going to be in a better spot. I think it's going to be a close game. I would put it as, I guess, a toss-up win, unlike the toss-up loss to Georgia. It's hard to beat us two times in a row. Josh Heupel, I think, is doing a good job recruiting. He's kind of created some buzz around that program, but I think we're going to take it to him in T-Town, and I'd say we'd win by less than a touchdown. I think it's going to be interesting into the fourth quarter. One thing we haven't talked about is, we got some new special teams players, and how that's going to play out down the stretch is, I think this game is going to test that a little bit in terms of our kicking game. But I think we pull it off.
All right, Will K.
So they had the whole ordeal with Nico Amaliva. Nico, I'm a leave Tennessee.
Iamaliava.
No, I'm a
Iamaliava.
leave Tennessee. That's his name. I'm a leave Tennessee. And they traded quarterbacks with UCLA. I really don't think Tennessee's going to be all that great this year. They're not going to be as good. They're going to regress. They're not going to make the college football playoff like they did last year. Joey Aguilar, I don't know. If he's good, I just haven't seen enough of him, so I don't know. I think we win this game by two touchdowns or more. Like Gary said, I think that Ty will be, more confident in his decisions and his playmaking. And people don't talk about his mobility. He's not going to be a statue back there. He actually has some rushing touchdowns. He doesn't have any passing touchdowns yet. So, if it's like a third and six or something, he can get out of the pocket and make a play if nobody's open. He's not going to be like a Peyton Manning or Tom Brady back there, but I think Tennessee will have a good defense, but it's at home. Heupel can only beat Alabama when he's at home. So I think Alabama wins by two touchdowns or more.
I agree with you both. Alabama's going to win. I think it'll be 7 to 10 point win. I think the home field advantage is huge in this rivalry right now. We beat Tennessee in Alabama, and they're beating us up there. We're junior, senior, heavy team. Lots of NFL players. I think we've got a better roster than they do. They've got a good roster. I'm not saying they don't, but I think we're a little bit better roster. They had to go into the portal more, lost their quarterback, had to bring in another quarterback who not yet proven. Now, Heupel's a good quarterback coach, so you can't discount that, but I do think we're going to get them by 7 to 10 points, win this game, and Alabama's going to be rolling along as a one-loss team, then heading to a tough matchup in South Carolina. Any other further thoughts about Tennessee before we talk about that trip to Columbia, South Carolina?
I'll say this. I think, Keelon Russell is such an interesting prospect, and I understand he's not the starter. I almost wonder if Grubb's going to put in a couple of packages for him, maybe at pistol or some kind of package to showcase his running ability and maybe some play action. It's a game like Tennessee, which I think is going to be maybe a touchdown, maybe even less, where we may try that out. We may even try it out against Georgia. I just wonder if they're going to use him in special situations. And I think we may find out that in the Tennessee game.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about that, but the practices have been, you've had such limited access to see what they're doing. We don't know. So it's going to be fun to see what they do and if Keelan gets on the field other than Louisiana Monroe and Eastern Illinois, and if they do specialty packages. I haven't heard anything about it, but I think they're keeping it under wraps. So, all right, Will K., any other thoughts about Tennessee? All right, next game. And this will be the fifth SEC game in a row. And I think this makes it really tough trap game going to South Carolina against LaMarcus Sellers. I will say Alabama should have lost to South Carolina. They got lucky. They got some turnovers from LaMarcus Sellers, even though he played really well. Milroe made some boneheaded plays. And fortunately, South Carolina missed some field goals, or they could have walked out of here with the win. That was a crazy game to review. All right, Gary, thoughts about that tough game in Columbia?
You know, it's always a unique place to play. You know, they've got interesting fans. They really bring it. They've got Shane Beamer. He's a player's coach. He's a really good recruiter for what they have to work with up there. And you know, they play well in big games a lot of times. They I think they beat Clemson last year, and
They
they
did.
they've had some quality wins. I don't think they have the personnel to match up with us this year. They've you know lost a couple of key players, and including the wide receiver core. You know, I think we go up there. I agree, it's got the potential to be a trap game. It's just a tough place to play, and that begins to be the part of the season, late October, where everybody's worn out. You know, it's hard to see what role injuries could play. You know, we may be down to Austin Mack playing quarterback. You just don't know. And
Please
so
don't say that's gonna
I,
happen. Woo!
it's not a prediction. I'm just
Okay,
trying to
good.
think of risk assessment, but you know, I think we pull that one off. But Shane Beamer, you know, he's a good coach. He'll have his team ready. These kind of, I would call them mid-level SEC teams. I'd put Missouri in there, but I would say this year at least South Carolina is kind of a notch above that. They're the dangerous ones because being Alabama, we've got a target on our back week in, week out. You know, people spend disproportionate time looking at our tape, preparing for us, because this any win against us can, by a mid-level team is a signature win. This is a dangerous game. I still think we pull it off, though. I got us winning the game.
Okay, Will K.
I think that this one is a toss-up. I don't know. But for the sake of not looking like I'm so biased, I will put it as an L. A
Okay,
toss-up
toss-up
L.
loss.
Yeah, I think that South Carolina, they started out kind of rough, 2-2, and then 2-3, and they played really well at the end of the year. I think that they take a step back this year, but at South Carolina, playing Darute Sandstorm with the towels, that gives me flashbacks to Stephen Garcia and Alshon Jeffrey in 2010. So I'll take this one as a toss-up L. That's just what I think. So
You're not allowed to have flashbacks to fourth grade, Will. Sorry.
I remember it vividly. I was like, "We're not supposed to lose to this team." I mean, Alshon Jeffrey is just catching everything over Mark Barron, and it was a rout. And that team was loaded. That team had so much talent on it. I thought we were going to go back to back with Julio and Mark Jones. So I remember that game very vividly.
That was a tough loss. I view this as a toss-up loss. I think having five consecutive Saturdays of SEC games, I think Alabama's going to be worn out, beat up. I think South Carolina is going to pull the upset, and LaMarcus Sellers is going to give us fits. And South Carolina did lose some key players. They had to bring in some new players. They're going to be reliant on guys stepping up, but I think this late in the season, they'll be humming along just like they did last year. They got better. By the way, in that Netflix show, they showed Shane Beamer in there a lot. I really grew to like him watching him in those episodes. I'm impressed with the guy. I like him a lot as a coach. You know, X and O wise, I don't know, but I mean, they don't show that part of it, but I really was impressed by him. I would let my kids, if I would let my sons, grandsons play with him. I just was really, really impressed. So I'm saying it's a close loss, and a part of it's just going to be the DeBoer Road factor, the fifth SEC game in a row. We're going to be tired. It's going to be hard to win them all, but we don't have to win them all. So I'm projecting this as Bama's second loss of the season. And then we have a week off, fortunately, before we play LSU. So, any other thoughts on South Carolina?
No.
All right, Gary, jump in there. LSU, the big LSU Bengal Tigers coming into Bryant-Denny on November 8th, a week off to get right, get prepared, and before, that normal Halloween weekend off, and then we play LSU on the 8th at home.
I mean, it's LSU, and some years they're LSU, and some years they're LSU. This game always reminds me of the game of the century where I got an outrageous offer to buy my tickets, and we decided not to sell them. That year we lost 9-6 before we turned around and beat them in the national championship game. LSU travels well, and I really think this year it's going to be a shootout. I really do. I think Garrett Nussmeier is an amazing, or amazing may be too strong a word. He's a great quarterback. You look at his pedigree. His dad, Doug, obviously our former OC, coached AJ McCarron, and Garrett had what I think over 4,000 yards last year. I think he was 29 touchdowns and 12 picks, a very strong rating. He's one of the preseason, I won't say Heisman favorites, but he's on the lists. He's on the preseason SEC watch list for SEC Player of the Year. They're going to score some points. I do think our defense is better, but they're not going to be able to stay in the game unless their defense is better. And I think it is going to get better this year. They've got Patrick Payton coming over from FSU on the line, and I think it's going to be a 40-something to 40-something kind of game, or 40-something to high 30s kind of game. And I think we win it, but I would put it in a toss-up win. I don't think we're going to manhandle them like we did and score at will like we did last year. But I think they're going to put enough points where we're going to have to really lean on Ty Simpson to step up, and I think he will step up.
Okay.
I don't, once again, LSU is overrated once again. I mean, everybody's Garrett Nussmeier, he's so good. And yeah, before you say that Jalen Milroe, that's the one team that Jalen Milroe could succeed against was LSU. They only scored, they scored a last second touchdown. They just put up 6 points against Alabama last year in their own stadium. Garrett Nussmeier threw two interceptions. He had a fumble. He had like three interceptions against Texas A&M. I think LSU loses to Clemson. I don't know if they play Florida. If they do, they're going to lose to Florida.
I think they do play Florida.
I think they lose to Florida. I think that depending on where they play A&M, they might lose to A&M. And I think that they're overrated. They have a bunch of portal guys. So I don't know if they'll mesh well. And this game's at home. But this might be the one team we play better on the road than we do at home, actually. But I think Alabama wins this game. I think LSU's overrated. They lose week one. After week one, they're 0-1.
All right, I'm with you, Will. I think Bama beats them. Assuming that Ty develops and produces like we think, we're going to beat them. And Ty, I'm predicting, is a better quarterback than Nussmeier. Nussmeier's mobility is pretty limited. I think he's a very good passer. I think he's a very good processor, and he can run offenses, but I don't think he has the athleticism of Ty. And I think sometimes he'll force the ball, thinking he's better than he is, and that's how we got him. He moved the ball up and down on Bama, but Bama got the turnovers. That game could have been a lot closer had Nussmeier not forced a couple of throws in there and thrown some picks. And also, I believe it was Quay Rousseau that came flying in the middle, unblocked, and just ran him down and knocked the ball out. And I mean, that was just LSU's line just blowing it. I mean, they let him just run free and he just ran him down. Somebody like LaMarcus Sellers runs away and doesn't get caught by the Alabama defender. So I think it's Nussmeier's going to have to play not good. He's going to have to play out of his mind, Joe Burrow level production to come in here and win. And Burrow was a more mobile quarterback. than people remember as well, and could move better than Nussmeier. So Nussmeier is going to have to come in here and play great. And I think the pressure is going to be too much to come into Bryant Denny and win. And to Will's point, LSU has had to go into the portal to keep trying to keep up with the top of the SEC because they're not recruiting as well as you would think. Their roster's good. They have NFL players, but I think Alabama has a better roster. I hope I'm right that Ty's going to be proven to be a better quarterback than us as well, but we'll find out. And it's going to be a good SEC. It's a good game, but we got the week off to get right. I think Bama wins by 10 to 17 points. So that's my
Well, and I
prediction.
would also say, John, that, I'm not endorsing Brian Kelly as a coach, but his seat's a little warm.
Yes, it
And
is.
this would be a signature win for him. They're gonna come in motivated. And I agree Nussmeier's gonna have to have a great game. And I think he's got the potential to do that. I mean, we see this with Arch. We saw it with the other the all remaining boys at Ole Miss in Tennessee. But these kids who've been trained since they were 6 years old, and just they keep getting better. He showed flashes last year of being an NFL quarterback. I'm not saying he will be. Nussmeier showed that he can make some throws. We didn't give him time. Like you're saying, we blew through their offensive line and put pressure on them. I think they've beefed up on both sides of the ball using some transfers. I think it's going to be a little closer. We'll see.
Yep, that's the fun part. And I don't take LSU lightly, but I think we've got a better team. So, all right, guys, then the next week we get Oklahoma coming in here for a big revenge game. And what an ugly loss that was last year. All right, Gary, jump in.
It's our turn. It's our turn. Brent Venables, hats off. He's a smart guy. He knows how to coach. But we've got a little revenge on our mind. I don't know in the last, I'm trying to think, I don't want to overspeak, but I'm trying to remember when I felt more miserable than the Oklahoma game last year. And I
Vanderbilt
came
game for
this
me.
close to going to the game. Decided last minute, I just had a bad feeling, and I'd rather be mad on my couch than mad when it's. I heard people at the game said it felt like it's 15 degrees, in that stadium, cold and miserable and just getting whipped. I think it's our turn. I think the longer we go in the season, I did predict the Georgia loss, but I think our offensive line is going to start getting stronger as the year goes on. And I think Ty's going to really start making plays. I'm a Ty fan. I just think the first few games of the season, he's going to have some growing pains. And I think our O-line's going to have some growing pains. I think we'll have some time. But by this point in the season, I think we're going to roll all over Oklahoma. We got revenge on our mind. And like I said at the beginning of this segment, it's our turn. Big, big win.
Well, okay.
Last year, this is another game you can pretty much solely put on Jalen Milroe. I mean, he played horrible. We did have two touchdowns called back, but I mean, he threw a pick six. He threw another interception where they were already in the red zone. And I know we'll get into this later when we talk about Auburn, but people are like, oh, Auburn has Jackson Arnold. He knows how to beat Alabama. Jackson Arnold didn't beat Alabama when he was at Oklahoma. Jalen Milroe did. He had like 62 passing yards. And I think he had a turnover, maybe a fumble, but we'll get to that when we talk about Auburn. I think that John Mateer is really good from Washington State. I think that he might be a little scary. But I think that this game will be closer than people think. We historically have trouble with Oklahoma. In that last year, and then we lost to them in the Sugar Bowl too a couple years ago. But I think that this game's closer than people think. I think John Materia had a big year at Washington State last year. I think we win by like a touchdown.
Okay. I'm with you guys. We're gonna beat Oklahoma. We got the revenge. That was embarrassing. Milroe was awful. But our defense was awful too. We blew assignments. We had guys not setting the edge, letting Jackson Arnold break containment. We had guys missing assignments when it was an option situation. Two guys going for the quarterback, not being aware of an inside pitch man or an outside pitch man, guys covering areas in a zone where nobody was around, and other guys running free. It was a breakdown. The defense did not play as bad as the offense did, as Milroe did, but the defense was bad. They did, if they had bowed up and played better, maybe we could have stayed in that game and had a shot to steal one. But the defense, after Milroe was so bad, they just kind of rolled over and weren't doing their things either. So I think Kane's going to clean that up. I hope he did, because I saw enough. I rewatched the whole game, by the way, recently, and I'm going to do an episode just on a rewind, relook at that game. But Milroe was terrible. Jam Miller missed holes. We got into the red zone and should have punched it in for seven, came away with three, and that was our only score. Milroe had the three bad turnovers, and the defense was bad. So it was just an all-around miserable game. Brent Venables is a great defensive coach. We know that from when he was at Clemson, and he came up with a masterful defensive scheme, and we didn't do anything offensively to counter that, which I blame on Nick Sheridan and I blame on DeBoer. What were we doing? Surely there were some things they could have done within the context of what Milroe was capable of doing to answer that better. So it was a miserable experience. We're going to beat them this time. I am worried about Metier. They brought over Ben Arbuckle from Washington State, who is the OC there. They're running that offense, so Mateer's ready to go. But again, it's the plug and play, transfer portal, build through the portal versus having juniors, seniors, great recruiting classes, sprinkled with good acquisitions in the portal. It's going to be another matchup of that. I think we win. I think that's the recipe. And we're at home. That makes a big difference. I think we win by 7-14. Get the win there. And that's my point of view on this game, but I do think it's going to be a tough game. They're going to come in fighting hard, but it's a road game for them, and that benefits us. I would want to play them there with the team they have in that quarterback, because he's a dual threat. He's a better thrower of the football, and he's an NFL. He'll probably play on Sundays. Everything I've heard and read about Mateer is he is Cam Ward-esque. He is that good. He's going to be a tough quarterback to deal with, but I'm glad it's in Tuscaloosa. We get the win. Any other thoughts?
Just to go back to, you were talking about last year's game about the defense. I know we're talking about this year, but I'm gonna have to disagree with you on that one. Jalen Milroe spotted them 14 points and they only gave up 62 passing yards. Oklahoma's offense, I mean, they had a few good plays, but they were always in good field position. So, I mean, Bray Hubbard, he caused a fumble, but we couldn't capitalize on it. I mean, even if they gave up one touchdown, we wouldn't have beat them, because you can't beat anybody when you score one field goal. So, just wanted to say that, but we can go to the
Our
next
rushing
one.
defense was terrible, and a lot of it was not setting the edge, not plugging gaps. People, and it's because of that dual threat run option type pass that our guys just didn't respond in that game. But I'm sure they were somewhat demoralized too, by the way Milroe put them in a hole. But I saw plenty of plays where guys were way out of position. And even the commentators, Kirk Herbstreit was like, "No one's setting the edge on this play." I'm like, "Yeah, that's right. We weren't doing our." So it was a bad, it was the worst, it may have been worse than the Michigan game in terms of how bad we played on both sides of the ball. So it was miserable. All right.
And it was a low point for coaching.
That was terrible.
Milroe is creating some buzz out in Seattle with his fall camp, and if he winds up getting some playing time, which he probably won't, but if he starts having success in Seattle, you're going to look back at games of like Oklahoma, and Sheridan's not, calling the plays anymore, but it'd be a real head scratcher how we played that game.
That won't help Sheridan get an OC job if Milroe turns out to be really well. It'll just show that he couldn't coach him up and that Grubb's all that. I'm hoping Grubb's great, which I'm anticipating. So it's going to be interesting to watch that. And to watch Mil I want Milroe to do well. Don't get me wrong, but boy, he was bad in the last half of the season. He really regressed. And that was discouraging. All right, Eastern Illinois. Anybody have any other comments other than we're going to roll them?
Yeah,
Not
pretty
all.
much.
And I'm glad we have that game because
Didn't even
that's
know that
a
was a school, to be honest with you.
it's one of those get healthy and get ready for the Iron Bowl. So I love that. All right,
Yeah.
Gary, Iron Bowl going down to Auburn on the Plains.
I didn't carefully review the rules of the game we're playing here, but can I say toss up without saying toss up win or toss up loss?
You
Is
got
that
to pick a
possible?
win because we got to project what the
Well, that's what I
season's
tried to
going
do with
to
South Carolina, but
be.
I didn't think that was part of the rules either, so I just said toss up a loss.
I think this is going to be a tough game. That's you know, I, if allowed to, I would just say straight toss up. I agree with Will. I think Jackson Arnold being there is not some, you know, panacea for them, you know, just because he won the game at Oklahoma. I don't really count that as much. You know, they've got a very dynamic five-star. I think he's a freshman, Deuce Knight, who, you know, be interesting to see if Hugh Freeze calls up some trick plays late in that game to try to win a close one. You know, Hugh's been attracting this, you know, negative attention preseason, saying some, you know, kind of crazy stuff or whatever. I think that's all a distraction. I think his job's on the line. And I really do. When Auburn brought him in, I thought, okay, they got a coach now who's going to start winning. I'm not an Auburn fan, clearly, but if I was, I would be very disappointed in what he's done so far. And I think this really is the, not a, the pivotal year for him. They've still got some really dangerous weapons at wide receiver. Cam Coleman, obviously, is back. They've got a Eric Singleton as a transfer. So, you know, are they going to have the ability to put some points on the board? I think so. And Auburn, you know, I think it's a TBA game time, but especially if this is a night game, that is a tough place to play when the name of your team is the University of Alabama. Have we rolled them a couple of times down there? We have. We've also lost games, and it's just, I'm just afraid it's going to come down to who plays better in the last 5 minutes. And, you know, almost like A&M calls their fans the 12th man. I think it's going to be tough there down the stretch at the end of the fourth quarter to come out on top. I would like to say toss up. It sounds like I'm not allowed to. Don't hate me, but I think this may be a toss up loss.
Okay. All right. Will K.
Yeah, I mean, you know, being in Jordan-Hare makes all the difference in the world. It doesn't matter if they're 3-9 or 6-6 or 9-3 or whatever. It's going to be a close game in Jordan-Hare. I mean, you know, just a few years ago, if we didn't convert that 4th and 31, we weren't going to the SEC or
Yeah, the
the.
SEC championship game. We had to convert that just to get into the SEC championship game and then beat Georgia to get in the playoffs. Yeah, no
Yeah,
doubt.
yeah. I mean, just stuff like that. And then, you know, you got the kick six, and they even had that play against Georgia where it, you know, the week before the kick six where it popped into his hands. Yeah, I think that those games are always close. Ty Simpson will have, you know, a few road games under his belt. I think that we will ultimately win it because we just have more talent. Depends on how good Jackson Arnold is. Cam Coleman is the second best wide receiver in the SEC behind Ryan Williams. I'll give them that. But them reclaiming more national titles, I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, 2004, I mean, yeah, they kind of deserve to be in there, but they didn't do it. They didn't play in that game. So I looked at that. I thought that was stupid. So I think we'll win though. I think the whatever the betting line is on that, I would take Auburn plus the points on that. Don't take betting advice from me, but that is what I would do. But I think we win.
I'm in agreement with you, Will. I say toss-up win. I think we're going to barely win. DeBoer hopefully will know how to win big SEC games on the road. And it doesn't get a whole lot bigger than Alabama having to go into Jordan-Hare. This is going to be a tough place to play. They always seem to bring it and make it really tough on us. I'm just confident that, again, junior, senior team, mostly built through recruiting, supplemented by the transfer, and they had to go more transfer heavy and go into the portal more to fortify their roster. So I like that aspect again. Hopefully by that point, Simpson's on his game. He's top notch. DeBoer knows how to win big SEC road games, and we win it. And I really felt that either we're going to lose at South Carolina or Auburn, but not both of them. So I went with losing at South Carolina because of the five SEC games in a row. And I think having that off week with Eastern Illinois is going to help our guys be ready to go against Auburn. So that's why I chose Auburn. But I really feel like we're going to lose one of those two games. So I just kind of had to say, okay, I think we can pull it out at Auburn, but it's going to be tough. So I see why you think we're going to lose, Gary, and I'm very I trap huge trap game, other than we know Auburn's tough, but I think it's going to be really tough.
And
All
Will
right.
made the best point, and that's you can take the records and throw them out the window.
Yeah, agreed. All right, guys. So given all of that, I have Alabama going 10-2. I think 10 and 2 will not put them in the SEC championship game, but it will put them in the playoffs. And I actually like that. I'd rather not play in the SEC championship game, get to sit out and rest up, and then go to the playoffs and do what Ohio State did last year, which is go on a big run with two losses. But we'll predict later whether or not they're going to win the night. Of course, Gary, I made that bold prediction with you previously. But I think the floor is Bama could, if things don't go right, we could go 8-4. I don't think we're going to have a worse season than 8-4, but then DeBoer's going to be in the hot seat if we go 8-4. I think if everything goes well, we could go 11-1. I cannot predict that they have any chance going 12-0. Bama's going to lose a game, in my opinion, at a minimum. Could lose four games, but I think they're going to go 10-2. Gary, your thoughts on all that? High, low, ceiling, floor, and what are they going to do?
So, I really have very similar predictions to you, except I've got a slightly lower floor. And I want to say this, speaking of floors, we're over here talking about games that Milroe gave away or the coaching gave away by not, pulling them or running the ball more. I don't think we get beat by a lot by anybody. I don't. I think we've got the personnel to compete with anybody. The two toss-up losses that I predict, Georgia and Auburn, I think they'll be just that. Would I be shocked if we win one of those games? No, but I do predict two losses. So I think we go 10-2. I think our high would be 11-1, where one of those toss-ups kind of bounces our way. But I'm not sold on DeBoer yet. I'm not. I want to give him a chance. I'm nowhere near Stephen Smith, but I think we've got a floor of 7-5. I really do. I think if Florida State beats us in the opening game, I think the wheels could come off. I think we could easily lose four SEC games if we lose the FSU game. That would be a disaster. You're talking about floors. This would be a disaster scenario, but I think that's risk of that low. Also agree we don't make it to the SEC championship game, and also agree that I think that's a blessing. I think the expanded playoff, I think we sneak in there, and we could get hot, and we'll talk about that in a second. But that's exactly what I think. 10-2 is my median. I think we miss SEC playoff, but I think we get into the playoffs or SEC championship game. I think we sneak into the playoffs.
Okay, Will K.
Yeah, so I have us at 11-1. A little optimism.
Okay.
Maybe
We
I've been
love South
spoiled.
Carolina.
Maybe I've been spoiled by the Nick Saban because that's all I've ever known. So I wasn't there. I mean, I was, really young for Mike Shula and, DeBose didn't have anything with that. So all I've ever known is Nick Saban. So maybe I'm delusional, but
Well, Nick Saban isn't walking through that door, so.
exactly. That's what I mean. So I think that our floor is 8-4. I don't have us losing to Georgia, could we? Absolutely. I don't have us losing to LSU, could we? Absolutely. Auburn, South Carolina.
What
But
about
we
going
could.
undefeated? Do
I
you
look
think
at
we
this
could go
schedule.
undefeated?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I look at this
Wow.
schedule, and we have the talent to at least. And if everything goes our way, then yeah, I think we could go 12-0. But I don't think we will. We'll lose a game or two. I agree. I don't think we'll make if I was going 11-1, maybe we are going to the SEC championship. But if Texas and Georgia and LSU are up there too, Who knows? But I think we
Well,
make the
I will
playoffs.
say that if we go 11-1, we'll be in the SEC championship game because I
Yeah.
think maybe one SEC team goes undefeated, but I don't think so. I think
And if another
11.
one's 11-1, then we'll have the tiebreaker over them.
Well, but I think the likelihood is you might get one or two teams that go 11-1 in the SEC, but I don't see anybody going undefeated in the SEC, personally.
Yeah,
I'm with you.
it's a gauntlet. If like Georgia and LSU both went 11-1, that means that we beat one of them, so
Right.
we would have the tiebreaker over them. But that's what I have. So we will
Okay.
see. It's coming up.
All right. Anybody want to make their playoff prediction about how we just, as a last parting shot, and then we'll wrap this thing up. Gary, what do you think?
I only have one comment about that. I saw, and I don't know which commentator it was at us, predicted making the playoffs, playing Penn State and losing to Penn State in the first round. If we play Penn State in the first round of the playoffs, we're winning that game. The most embarrassed I've ever been as an Alabama fan, it wasn't against Penn State, we were playing another Big Ten team, was the bowl game many years ago down in Tampa when we played Michigan State. And I was surrounded by green jerseys, and we started the SEC champ, and I was chant. I almost didn't want to join in. I was like, it was like 36-3 or something, and they couldn't stop us. Penn State, they're improving, but if we wind up playing Penn State, we win that game. I think we have a chance to get hot. I think the month of December and early January, I think Nick Saban's going to leave Jupiter Island and move his office up here, help us prepare for the playoffs. And I
Yeah.
could see us making a run in the playoffs.
Will.
Yeah, I mean, it really depends on who we see and who gets into the playoff. I don't know how the seeding works, but if we were to see a Texas or a Ohio State pretty early, that might be trouble. But if we see like a Penn State or a maybe even an Oregon, I don't believe in Oregon to, or like Notre Dame, like if we play one of those, like I think we can beat them, but it depends on who we play.
I think the
But yeah, I mean
tide.
we're gonna win the whole thing no matter what. So
I think the tide can win it all. And
yeah.
on the bold prediction episode that Gary and I did, I said that. That was my bold prediction. They can win it all. And I think we can be 10-2, get hot, and do exactly what Ohio State did last year. This team, if Ty can be the quarterback that we hope he can be, they can do it. And Ryan Grubb is going to have as much. The offense is going to be much better this year because of Grubb and Ty. And the wide receivers are loaded. And if Daniel Hill does what I hope he does, it's going to be really fun.
Well, and look, I mean, you can drop a game or two and win it all. You gave a lot of examples last time, John, but Saban had what, one undefeated season? I mean, you
He
can
had
win.
two. He had
Oh,
two
two.
undefeated seasons. His
That's
first
right.
championship and his last championship
That's
because
right. That's right.
the
Okay.
COVID season, Mac and
Are you
crew ran the
including
tables.
the postseason two in an undefeated season, or?
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. That's what I'm saying is he had two undefeated where he won the Natty. He won his
Because yeah,
first.
he's had more undefeated regular seasons and then lost in the national championship, but yeah.
Correct. But yes, he had an undefeated season. Wasn't he undefeated going into that year when they played Florida in the SEC championship game?
Yeah,
And
2008.
I think Florida had lost one game and they lost that game. And then they had that stinker against Utah in the bowl game. So
Yes.
Saban kind of had to wring some necks after that when they
Sugar
no-showed
Bowl. That's
for
right. Yeah.
Utah. So, all right, guys, is that it? Or are we done and going to wrap this one up and move on?
Yeah, I think we're good.
All right,
Think we're good
well.
to go.
All right, gentlemen, thank you. God bless. Thanks for tuning in to the Bamature Hour. We appreciate all of you that listen. We have over 3,000 subscribers on our YouTube channel. So please, if you're listening and haven't subscribed, please subscribe. If you are subscribed, make sure to hit the notify button. And also, if you're listening to us on the various podcast streaming platforms, please follow and like and put positive comments in there. All right, God bless. Thank you.
Sense.